Sale todo. Senator from the first. Our order of business is resolutions. Senator from the first.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a resolution.
Send the resolution forward, please. Senator, would you care to explain the resolution?
Thank you, Mr. President. What this resolution would do would send a message from this body to the governor that he would not, by executive order, receive the monies from the federal government to establish a health care exchange in the state of Missouri, and that he would wait until this body and the General Assembly would act on this issue through legislation. I'd be happy to address any questions. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion? Senator from the 17th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from the first.
Senator from the first, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, thank you for your inquiry. I don't have a copy of your resolution in front of me, but I understand that you said that the governor not by executive order establish a health insurance exchange, because that's something that we in the legislature are discussing in some great length, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, I just want to make sure that we're aware here that while it may be technically true that the governor has not specifically pinned an executive order creating a health insurance exchange, that he is, by his actions, that's exactly what he's doing, because his own cabinet member, the director of the Department of Insurance, is moving forward, and that's the document that we obtained last week before we left here on the Health Insurance Interim Committee that we're studying here in the Senate. We obtained a document where that his own cabinet member is seeking approval from the Missouri Consolidated Healthcare Board to receive over a $30 million grant to be expended only for consultant fees, amazingly enough, only for consultant fees. So I just want to make sure that the body understands that just because that there isn't pen and ink on an actual executive order, that is exactly what the governor is doing through his cabinet, through his director of the Department
right.
of Insurance.
And I appreciate you bringing that up, Senator, and I was remiss in my resolution also does include any action through the Missouri high-risk
Perfect.
Pool, so it covers all of that.
Perfect. You're right. You're right there, and I'm glad that they... Oh, is there a way that more of us can sign on to your resolution?
Yes. Yes. So anybody wants to sign on.
So those of us who
on,
agree with that, we yeah. can go forward and sign on to that, and right. I'm sure you're probably going to get a number of members to sign.
Right.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Thank
you. Senator, the resolution will be printed in the journal. Further resolutions? Concurrent resolutions. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Missouri News Horizon has been given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today.
Senator, before I go back to you, I would like to ask for introduction of bills. Introduction of bills. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on second reading.
House bills on second reading. House bills on second reading. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. We will go immediately to House Bill 6.
House Bill 6, an act relating to matching federal emergency management agency expenditures due to natural disasters in the state of Missouri.
Appropriations. House Bill 7.
House Bill 7, an act relating to a joint committee on disaster funding.
Appropriations.
Senator from Stoddard.
If I could, Mr. President, I would like to refer Senate Resolution Number 43 and Senate Resolution Number 44 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, and Resolutions and Ethics.
Those bills will be so referred. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will order business of second reading of Senate bills.
Second reading of Senate bills. Second reading of Senate bills. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill number 10.
Senate Bill number 10, an act relating to economic competitiveness.
Health, mental health, seniors, and families. Senate Bill 11.
Senate Bill 11, an act relating to minority and women's business enterprises.
Jobs, economic development.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 4th, for what purpose do you rise?
To speak on a point of personal privilege, Mr. President.
Senator from the 4th has requested a point of personal privilege. Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. As many members of the chamber know, I am carrying a bill for the local control of the St. Louis Police Department. And in the press and some of the conversations, there have been some doubts about the support that I have from the St. Louis Police Officers Association. I'm holding in my hand a letter that I received today from the St. Louis Police Officers Association. It's signed by all but three of the current board members and all the newly elected board members, and it's very short, and I'd like to read it to the chamber. Please allow this letter to serve as the formal position of the Executive Board of St. Louis Police Officers Association on behalf of our 1,200 members with regards to the city control compromise legislation currently under consideration in the Missouri General Assembly. The undersigned Executive Board members and members-elect hereby officially go on record in full support of the Senate substitute for House Bill 1 that Senator Kevin plans to offer when this bill reaches the Senate floor. As you know, this legislation is the product of a lengthy and delicate compromise reached between the City of St. Louis and our association. Any substantive changes to this bill could jeopardize that compromise, and we urge you to pass this bill without substantive changes. With that, Mr. President, thank you.
Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to inquire of the Senator from the 4th.
Senator from the 4th, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Do you know why there are three individuals who did not sign on to that letter?
They couldn't get to the letter in time to sign it to get it to me.
From my understanding, at least one of those members was never even invited to that meeting on Monday. So he was not even aware that a meeting was held until afterwards. Also, I understand within the meeting that was held on Monday, it was quite confrontational. And so certain members that I spoke to felt as though they were being threatened and bamboozled into actually signing that document. So in this entire debate back and forth on whether or not there should be local control, we still at the same time need to recognize the fact that many within the rank and file are opposed to what Rex Singfield and Mayor Slay are trying to do. So I want us, I appreciate you reading that letter. It's important to everyone, but there are comments that have been made in public. And there are people who continuously call who are rank and file members who do not agree with moving this legislation forward. And I just wanted to allow an opportunity for their voices to be heard. So while you have a letter that is not signed by every single member of the board, there are also other people who call, not only myself, but other senators, to convey that they feel as though they are being threatened, they feel as though they are being bamboozled, and they feel as though democracy is not put in place as it should be. And I hope, regardless of whatever happens, I know that the majority has been going back and forth in both houses, and we're not too sure where things stand, but I do hope that we can have a conversation, a very thorough debate on local control and what it means. I do think that we should engage in a conversation discussing your charter, but I also think that it is important to hear the other 1,200 votes of rank and file members. As everyone is probably aware of, if you've read any of the papers in St. Louis, that there is new leadership. And I will say with that, there is a specific individual who is a former member of the General Assembly who has been engaging in this movement to create local control. At the same time, he is running for state senate. And I think that is compromising the situation here. I felt really offended when I was doing some party work the other day, and one of my supporters told me that the person who is lobbying but not registered to lobby, who is the manager for the POA, is running for office. So I really hope that he is not using this as a stepping stone so that he can run for office, I believe, in the 22nd district. And I will also say that when and if this bill comes to the floor, that we will talk about all of the issues, all of the statements that not only Lewis Reed has raised, but also some of the arguments that Mayor Slay has raised. We've done significant research this weekend. I'm very glad that the majority allowed us a day of postponement of the hearing for the Ways and Means Committee. But at the same time, you know, I thought that we were going to have that hearing next week. Now we know that the hearing's not going to be held until tomorrow, which is a week longer than what I expected and what I think you expected. But when we get to the point of having this conversation, I want to be very clear and very direct and ask some hard questions. I know you and I have remained good buddies, even though we disagree on this issue. I do believe and want to ensure the citizens of the city of St. Louis who are supportive of local control that I am not trying to prohibit this bill from passing. What my effort is to make the best deal for our police officers. That has been what I have been concerned about from the very beginning. We are inches away, as I stated last week, and I think that we're very, very close to having a deal that not only I feel comfortable with, but with those 1,200 members of the St. Louis Police Officers Association. So I would like to thank you very much for the inquiry. I do appreciate you providing this letter. I do know what the politics behind this letter was, and I do know that short of pulling hair and brace knuckles, you know, there are people who signed it and they did not want to sign it. So thank you so much, Mr. President.
Senator from St. Francis, what purpose do you rise?
Can I inquire the senator from Stoddard?
Senator from Stoddard. Senator from Stoddard, the senator from St. Francis would like an inquiry. Do you yield?
Certainly.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I just wanted to ask you publicly here. I know we're going to have a caucus here in a few minutes, but the other end of the building doesn't seem to be in too big a hurry to tell us what their intention is on the bill that we sent over. Is that?
That's correct. They told me Monday night that they were going to have some type of revision,
something to make this session worthwhile, and to spend $25,000,
so that we could see just exactly what they would like to see changed in the bill that left the Senate. And at this point, I've not seen any specifics. I've not seen any bills.
Was there a meeting from the senator from 33rd today and their chief negotiator?
It's my understanding that the senator from Howell and Representative Deal were to have met at noon today. And he did not show up, is what I was told by the senator from Howell.
If we don't know what their version is or their intention is, or don't know where the negotiations are, we just seems like we've wasted another $25,000 worth of taxpayers' money. And what I fear happening is that the House, they've put off the discussion until Friday. They say, okay, we're going to take it or leave it. We're going to go back to another position. We don't want to cut any tax credits of any meaningful way or put any type of sunset or any review on them, and you take it or leave it and forget about caucus. Even though that I've heard those rumors through the hallway, are you hearing that? Or,
well, I was told by a couple of members of the body down the hall that they didn't want to go to conference. They don't want to go to conference. That they were going to come forth with a proposal, and they were going to present that. I haven't seen it, but they don't want to go to conference.
All right, so we're here today, and since we have no indication what the House wants to do, they put us in a position, and they're not going to take it up till tomorrow. They're not going to take it up tomorrow. They're going to take it up Friday.
That's right.
And so we don't even know what the response is going to be till Friday. And then we may or may not know what the response is by depending upon how long the debate is till Friday afternoon until maybe the first of next week. And
I understand that Speaker and Representative Deal are not going to be available next week. Now, I've not heard that directly from them, but I heard it through one of my aides that they're not going to be here next week.
Well, we had a
presentation on the bill Monday night, and we still don't have any information on just exactly what their counter proposal would be at this time.
I think the general bullet points. Proposal is going to be, hey, stick it, and you guys just take it or leave it. And it's the Senate's fault if we don't, because we've got a deal worked out with the governor. And I don't think that's acceptable. When we passed this, I was fully aware, prepared to try to go into some type of negotiation. But if we're not going to negotiate, if we're just going to take it or leave it, we don't want any caps or reviews on the tax credits, even though we're $1.3 billion in debt already and going deeper on tax credits. Even though we'll have to cut education and higher education in the spring come budget time, the House should have to cut that unless they say we don't want to make those cuts. We'll send it over to you, to the Senate. Then we're going to, and of course, the governor has not made any cuts in any of the budgets since he's been here the first 3 years. He always comes up with a budget that's hundreds of millions out of balance, but nobody questions it. So it'll probably come down to us having to cut education and higher education if we don't get some of these things under control. But I'm afraid that what we're going to do is they're going to say take it and stick it and not negotiate, and it must be the Senate's problem. The Senate's the problem. They're the big bad. They're the ones that caused this thing and didn't get anything done. And I'm here to tell you, if they won't even cooperate on letting us know what their intentions are, so we sit here and have a session for no apparent reason, and those of us that are gainfully employed have to come up here away from work and their families for no apparent reason when they won't even give us an indication what they want done, then they put it off to Friday. I just want to put on record, if they try to say, oh, it's just the Senate's problem, they just can't get their act together, they're just in disarray, well, we have to have a little cooperation from the other end of the building, and I understand we haven't heard from the second floor what his understanding of the deal is.
Well, they've given us some general outlines, bullets, and then they gave us this sheet that had a lot of question marks and very little detail. And, of course, last week when we passed out Senate Bill 8, the governor was very pleased with what we had done, liked the bill, thought it was great work,
he probably
appreciated what we'd done.
And when we don't get anything done, he probably won't criticize us then. Is that your understanding?
Or do you think
he's going to say they couldn't get their act together?
You know, it's been my understanding since I've been here and before that legislation has to go through both bodies and be signed by the governor, and apparently somebody failed to remember that.
Well, I just wanted to point out before we adjourn, I think we're going to adjourn because there's no reason to take up some of these little issues that's going to get filibustered until we find out what direction we have, that, you know, it's not the Senate's problem when we don't even know what we're supposed to be here preparing for, the main reason of the special session. So
yep.
I want to see the bill with the details.
I'd like to be able to read it before we make any statements or take any position.
It would be nice. I'm going to advise that if we don't know what their intention is, it appears that we're farther away than we were in May, that we just go home and forget about it and quit wasting the taxpayers' money.
But I think that's something we have to seriously consider. I agree.
Thank you.
Senator from the 8th, for what purpose do you rise?
Inquire of the Senator from Stoddard.
Senator from Stoddard, do you yield?
Certainly.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, if they send us a bill over here without sunsets, do you think we can pass it in this body?
No. No, right. I don't think we can.
I just wanted to go on record and make sure everybody knows that if the House sends us a bill without sunsets, It's like killing the bill before it even gets started.
It's dead on arrival. Seems like I heard that comment somewhere.
Somebody over in the House did
something
say it was
DOA or whatever.
Right. So just to make perfectly clear, if there is not sunsets in this bill that comes over, it is no way, you do not think we will be able to pass a bill out of here without some kind of sunset.
I don't think we can pass a bill without sunset provisions in there, and they need to be 7 years or less on the two main tax credit programs.
All right. Thank you very much, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the First, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To speak on a point of personal privilege.
The Senator from the First has requested a point of personal privilege. Senator from the First, proceed.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Just based on some of the discussions from our colleagues here, it seems that there's a lot of discussion that needs to go on between the two bodies at both ends of the building, which would, might prolong our stay, Mr. President. So with that in mind, I've had drafted up a petition for a special session of the General Assembly, and my thought would be that it could run concurrent with our special session that we're in currently, and that if it be the will of this body, I wanted to make this petition available to all the members. And what this petition would actually do would call the body in to deal with the issue as that I spoke to earlier in the resolution of the governor, either by executive order or circumventing the legislature and establishing a health care exchange. This would bring the body in to deal with the issue and to prohibit the governor of Missouri from establishing, creating, or operating a health insurance exchange by executive order or any other method. So if it would be the will of this body, concurrent with this special session that we're currently in, to call ourselves in and deal with that issue, I have this available for you to sign on to. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. On adjournment, just a few minutes after adjournment, the Republican caucus will meet in Senate Conference Room number 1. So just shortly, 10, 15 minutes after we adjourn, the caucus will be holding a meeting in Senate Committee Room number 1.
Further announcements. Senator from the 34th.
To inquire of the Senator from the 23rd.
Senator from the 23rd, do you yield?
Yes, I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, is it your intention to adjourn for the day?
My recess motion, I'll be making a recess motion until 7 p.m., where I think after a period of hours where we will acquire more information, I will establish an adjournment motion.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further announcements? Further announcements? Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, no further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand in recess until 7 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are in recess until 7 p.m. this day.